Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today on the show, we are talking about population growth. Now, this comes from an article written by Tony Alexander, independent economist and friend of the show, who's looked through at regional data and looking at how regions have increased or decreased their populations. And has that actually impacted with house price growth at all? Is there a correlation there? And look, I'll save you the thing. We'll jump to the punchline. In this analysis, no, there's not a big correlation between regional population growth between the years 1996 and 2019. So about a 25-year period in that case, or rather I should say about a 23-year period. And he's looked at every single region, and I'll just rattle off some differences. So Auckland, right, 50.6% increase in population over that 23-24 year period. So it increased by half. House prices increased by 327%. Massive, enormous gains. But if you compare that to, say, a lower growth region, let's say Waikato, which had 35.3% population growth, you had slightly higher house price growth as a percentage, 331%. Northland, 34.8% population growth, 320% increase in house prices. So we're not seeing a correlation across many of the regions saying, does more population growth equal higher house price growth?
Well, look at West Coast, negative 2.7% population growth, but increases of 284%. So similar to some of the other regions in terms of the growth, despite the population restricting.
Now, what I just want to warn against, and we are going to get into this, is I wouldn't look, as I always say, at what got the highest percentage increase in house prices over this period and say, well, I just better go invest there. That makes sense. Yes. So in that case, that was Dunedin, which had the highest percentage house growth with 390% over that period with only 9.5% increase in population. Because Tony's real message here is that house prices, broadly speaking, go up roughly the same across the regions over the long term, but simply that the house prices are cyclical. And what I mean by that is that at one point, one region's going to go up in value really quickly, as we always say. So Wellington going off gangbusters now, that'll then slow down for a bit. And some other region is going to go gangbusters, and then that'll slow down for a bit. And then some other region, or a number of regions, will go gangbusters, then slow down for a bit. And that they tend to follow a cycle. So for instance, when you look at Canterbury, which has got 220% house price growth over those 24 years, which is actually the lowest across all of New Zealand, I wouldn't necessarily say, well, let's not invest there because of that. In fact, in this case, it would be potentially a reason to say, well, actually, let's invest there because it's had lower growth. It's time to have some catch-up growth there. So the main thing you might be thinking then is, well, population growth is indicative of having more housing demand. Absolutely agree with you there. Especially if you've got consistent numbers of people within those houses. So one of the things that Tony's looked at here is, well, how many people live in the average house in New Zealand? And the answer is 2.82 people per household back in 1996. Well, what was it in 2018, the last year that we have data for? Again, it was 2.82 people per household. It hasn't changed nationally. It's changed a little bit interregionally or regionally. For instance, Auckland previously had an average of 3 people per household, now 3.15, but there are some regions which have decreased. For instance, got fewer people now per household than previously. And so what that means is, broadly speaking, as we see population growth increase, we would expect for every 2.82 people we have, we need another house for them to all go and live in. Now, what he said here is, while you do see that, what you then see in addition to that is more construction. So we need more houses, so we build them.
Yes.
And in this case, there is a very, very strong correlation between the percentage increase in population growth and the consents per 1,000 people between that period of those 24 years in that case. And so Auckland, you've got a massive 51% population growth, but you've got, roughly speaking, about 190 consents per 1,000 people. So that's roughly a 20% increase in the number of houses on the market that's leading to those people actually having somewhere to stay in that case and being able to have a house there. So you're probably thinking, well, if supply is just increasing to meet demand, what's really going on? Which is that cyclical impact? So at the moment, as we've said many, many episodes ago, Auckland is actually only slightly above its long-term average compared to the New Zealand median house price. So if you look at where Auckland is sat, the median house price in Auckland has been about 140%, so 1.4 times the New Zealand median house price. Now, that shot up to massive levels, about 1.8 times that during the last boom, so up to about 2016, 2017. Since then, all other regions have seen quite significant, or most other regions have seen significant house price growth, which means that compared to everywhere else, Auckland has got relatively cheaper. The house prices haven't come down significantly at all. It's just that everywhere else has got more expensive. So Auckland is relatively cheaper. It's not actually cheaper at all. So actually at this point now, Auckland is at its long-term average. But also if you look at how their regions have worked or become more attractive relative to one another, Auckland is below its long-term trend. So what that actually means is Auckland is ready to have some heat come back into that market, which is actually what we're now seeing. And, you know, it's so satisfying. We've probably been pumping out the same sort of analysis as Tony's got here and putting it freely available on our website for the last about 6 months. And it is so satisfying, Andrew, to see the fact that it is relatively
fruition.
Yeah, because house prices are relatively cyclical. Now, the reason behind that, which is what Tony delves into, is what he describes as an arbitrage opportunity. And what he means by that and explains here is simply the fact that New Zealanders are relatively mobile. So I've got a friend in Auckland who was also based out of our Auckland office, and I saw on Instagram the other day, Jenny's now moving to Christchurch. Now, why is Jenny and her husband moving down here? Well, they've got a job opportunity, houses are relatively cheap, and they're able to afford a house. If they move down here, they wouldn't up there. Now, what that means is that, I'm not saying everybody in Auckland's going to move to Christchurch, that's obviously not going to happen, but New Zealanders are able to move around. We're in a relatively small country. You may have family around the country and be able to move around to take advantage of cheaper house prices. And they do, I'm not saying you would just move to a different region because it's got a cheaper house price, but it builds part of a picture. If you get a job, it's easier to move down there. It's got a lower cost of living. And so you have what Tony here is calling an arbitrage opportunity, the ability to move around to take advantage of those cheaper house prices. What that then happens is increases demand and then pushes house prices up. So that's where we start to have that catch-up growth in that specific case.
And I think the important thing here is just to be ahead of the trend. And so whether that be getting the information that actually is relevant rather than just those natural assumptions. You know, my assumption before this was that population growth had a major impact on property prices, but actually that's not true. Time has the biggest effect on property prices. And so it's about kind of figuring out, if you're looking to invest in property, figuring out the opportune time to invest in a market, particularly if you're wanting to grow a portfolio, because anywhere is going to go up over a long period of time. But if you buy something and it goes up a lot in the first 3 years, that gives you the opportunity to re-leverage and buy again. And it's just important. Ed will often scream around the office, data abuse. There's so many people, and you know, we see it all the time, particularly from developers and the like. You know, they'll post an Instagram post and they'll be talking about population growth over the world population and how it's going to change prices. Data abuse.
Absolute data abuse. I need to harken back just to the episode we recorded about 100 episodes ago, which specifically talked about world population, because the conjecture was that increasing world population would somehow impact New Zealand house prices. But remember, the data we said was that New Zealand's population growth over the last 20 years has only contributed to something like, was either 0.5 or 0.05% of the world's population increase. We are such a small part of the world and the world's population that you can't look at world population increasing and somehow think that that correlates to having higher house prices in New Zealand. But it simply doesn't.
But it's this correlation and causation message, and people will, you know, put two things together that aren't actually relevant and say that one causes the other. You know, you could say the same with avocados. More avocados have been sold in Auckland, and so that's what the property prices have gone up.
And look, the one thing that I would say, though, is it doesn't mean that population growth doesn't matter at all. What we're saying here is it doesn't necessarily, or this specific analysis of data would suggest that it doesn't matter for house prices at a regional level, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't matter for other things. For instance, things like tenants.
Yes.
So you're looking at house prices over a longer term period than you're necessarily looking at the ability to secure a long-term tenant. So population growth is still very important.
It's just one piece of the puzzle.
That's correct. So that's going to help for the ability to get a tenant. And similarly, I wouldn't necessarily then go say, I'm going to go and invest in, I'm trying to think of a really small town like Te Awamutu, simply because the house prices at a regional level, Waikato, have done really, really well. Remember, Te Awamutu may not get the same growth or may not get the same yields as somewhere like Hamilton, and that might be the same across all of regions. A region and a specific suburb can often operate very, very differently. And remember the analysis we did between Auckland Central, which has got very low historical capital growth compared to a place like Westmere, a suburb in Auckland, which has had extraordinary capital growth. So you've got to look not just regionally, but at the suburb level as well. And the other thing that I'd say as well is you could go somewhere which has very low house prices, somewhere like Harborough, for instance, where I'm from, where I think the average house price last time I looked was around the $300,000 mark. But of course, if you were going to have the same amount of capital invested in Harborough as you would in Auckland, so if you were trying to get a return on $1 million worth of assets, you could buy one property in Auckland, or you'd have to buy three properties in Harborough, for instance. And what that simply means is you may not want to have the additional hassles of having three tenants versus one tenant in Auckland. But then again, you might look at that and say, well, I've got more diversity of tenants than if I have three properties in Harborough. Not that I'd necessarily suggest that that's a very sensible thing to do. Am I allowed to say that, Andrew?
Yeah.
You following my logic there?
Yeah. Hopefully everyone else is.
Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really helps us get the message out to more people. Hey, and if you want to learn more about property with Andrew and I, come along to our free live podcast recordings. These are happening in October 20th, 21st, 22nd in Christchurch, Wellington in Auckland. We're going to get to meet you, which we're really excited about, and hear about what you're doing in property investment. We can't wait to shake your hands, look you in the eye, have a drink, and talk about property investment over the last year. I'm going to drop a link to that in the show notes, or go to opspartners.co.nz/pod-event. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.